Poor guys. Yeah. Okay, guys, are we ready to rock and roll here?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah, Matiki's on the line here.
Oh, got you too. Okay, this is great. We got everybody. So I'm about ready to hit the gavel and bring us in. And let's see. Do you need anything before we go? You're.
I'm ready. For executive session, I'm just going to send everything to the legislative address. If anybody needs it from somewhere else,
why don't I just let you come up and talk about it?
All okay. Right.
Yeah. I'm going to. You say it. Okay. We'll get into executive session and talk about it. Okay. Okay, with that, we will. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call to order the Alaska States Legislative Council. This is November 12th, 2014. We're meeting in the temporary LIO facilities in Anchorage, Alaska. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. We are meeting today to address the routine business of approval of minutes. We will have an executive session to go over an RFP for the Juneau child care provider and the next phase of the state capitol seismic retrofit and exterior renovation. First, Madam Secretary, let's establish a quorum, please.
Representative Chenault. Representative Gruenberg.
Present.
Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Pruitt. Representative Stoltz. Representative Wilson.
Here.
Senator Huggins. Senator Coghill.
Here.
Senator Dunleavy.
Here.
Senator Egan.
Here.
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Matiki.
Here.
Chair Hawker.
I am here. Well, we have a quorum to conduct business. So first item on our agenda is the approval of minutes from the July 9th, 2014 and the August 7th, 2014 meetings. Senator Meyer, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that the minutes from the Ledge Council meetings on July 9, 2014 and August 7, 2014 be approved as presented.
So the question before the committee is the approval of the July 9, 2014 and the August 7, 2014 minutes as presented. Is there objection? Hearing see none, those stand approved. So at this time, we are going to go into executive session, and I would ask Senator Meyer to make the motion to move us into executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B for the discussion of a matter that is by law required to be confidential.
Is there objection to entering executive session? Hearing see none. Let's all stand at ease while we appropriately adjust our room and get our telecommunications links limited to the proper people.
Chantel Chenault, we don't need any.
Well, yeah, we're going to be good. Okay, well, let's. Okay, we're back on the record with the Legislative Council meeting, November 12, 2014. We have been, as required by law, discussing the award of an RFP for child care providing provision and administration for the Capitol Annex in Juneau. I'd like to reestablish a quorum, make sure we've got everyone online. Present in the room, we have, let's see, Senator Egan, we've got Representative Wilson, we've got Senator Coghill, Senator Meyer, Representative Hawker Chairing, Representative Johnson, and Representative Gruenberg. Online, do we have Vice Chair Matiki? Vice Chair Matiki, are you there?
Yes.
Online, do we have Senator Stevens?
Yes, I'm here.
Online, do we have Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
I think that's every. We certainly have a quorum to do business there.
Chairman.
Oh, I've also got, I understand the Speaker Chenault is online.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, oh. Do you ever sleep, Mr. Speaker? No, he's in Washington, D.C. doing important speaker-type stuff today.
Oh, my.
I slept on the plane coming down last night.
Yeah, all right. So, Senator Meyer, a motion would be in order.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Legislative Council award RFP 605, Child Care Provider / Administrator for the Capital Annex to the Discovery Preschool LLC for a 3-year contract with 3 optional 1-year renewals.
The question before the committee is the award of RFP 605, Child Care Provider Administrator for the Capital Annex to the Discovery Preschool LLC for a 3-year contract with 3 optional 1-year renewals. Madam Secretary, if we could take a roll call vote, please.
Yes. Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Gruenberg.
Yes.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Pruitt. Representative Stoltz. Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Senator Huggins. Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Dunleavy.
No.
Senator Egan.
Yes.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Vice Chair Machicki?
Yes.
Chair Hawker?
Yes.
10 yeas and 1 nay.
So on a vote of 10 yeas and 1 nay, RFP 605 has been awarded as presented. Thank you all on that one. So, next item on the agenda is moving forward with the next phase of the Capitol seismic retrofit and exterior renovation. I turn the floor over to Wayne Jensen of Jensen Yorba Lot, who's been the project architect. We've also got with us Pam Varney, executive director of LAA, and we've got Jeff Goodell, our Capitol building manager in Juneau. So, Wayne, floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Wayne Jensen. I'm with Jensen Yorba Lot Architects. We're the architects for the project in the Capitol. With your permission, I'd like to turn off the lights so that these slides can be a little more visible.
Please do.
I'll start with a photograph from 1931. This is when the Capitol was first occupied after 2 years of construction. You can see there in the in the right, there's the what's now the Thomas Stewart Building, and behind there is the Terry Miller Building, which were built just a few years before the Capitol. So, a little summary on the objectives or the components of this project. One was it was a construction manager general contractor approach. It's a little different from just a low bid project. So it was an RFP to select the CMGC. The object of the project was it was a seismic retrofit of the building. It's a renovation energy retrofit or energy upgrade of the building. We're replacing all the heating system and insulating the exterior walls, which were never insulated. And then last, it was the heating system. So the energy, exterior walls, the energy, and the seismic were the 3 major components of the project. This is a slide that shows the
Wait, could I just back up half a step? Then the project, there was a previous, 4 years ago, commenced the then Ledge Council commenced a, it's a separate procurement, procured a restoration architect to review, examine, determine the condition of the state capitol building and what needed to be done. And the, paraphrasing, but the outcome of that was that we're literally in danger of our capitol crumbling out from underneath us.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Actually, the process started much sooner, much earlier than that. I think there were 2 or 3 investigations of the capitol from a structural perspective and from an exterior envelope perspective. And the last one was, I think, in 2010, which then recommended how we should approach the building. And that was a previous legislative council then approved the work that was done last year, which was some more immediate work on the front of the building. We did some work on the portico because that was what was considered to be in the most immediate concern. There were some stone issues on the portico that were failing, and it also was preparation for the next part of the work. There was some work in the crawl space, some structure work in the crawl space, and preparation for the rest of the project. So that work was done last year, and this is now for the next 2 years. This was actually this year and then two more years. So it's three years of construction. There ought to be 4 years total of construction during the construction season, limited between the end and the start of the session. So we have about 6 or 7 months of work between roughly May and October to do the work, and so that the building can be occupied during the session without any disruption. So this is a diagram that shows the progress of the work. The yellow along here on the west side, the Main Street side, and in these what we're calling the infill areas on either side of the stairway, those were the initial work that was authorized by Legislative Council for $5.8 million. This was structural work and preparation work in these areas. The project was going along at a good schedule, so we approached Legislative Council to add the north end of the west wing, and that was added to the project. So everything in yellow and orange on this slide was part of this year's project. The next year is the green, and what we'll be doing is the finish work on the exterior of the west wall and the north wall, and then the structural and finish work into the courtyard and along the north end of the east wing. The structural work will continue down Seward Street as far as we can get. The finish work, which is primarily the brick, will stop somewhere on the north end at a convenient location. And what you can see what we're doing is we're sequencing this. So we're doing the structural work ahead of the brick and finish work. So as the structural work continues around the building, the brick work will follow in a good sequence. So that actually was a benefit of this year's work. And that will make sure that there's structural work going on over here where there's still finish work going on in the east of the work. So it'll be more workers working on the building because they'll be working in two different locations throughout the building. So next year will be a very busy year. And then the last year, the 2016, will be continuing on with the structural work down Seward Street and all the way along 4th Street, and then the finish work will follow and will end up at the southwest corner of the building, 4th and Seward, or 4th and Main Street, at the end of 2016. There's also some interior work that is scheduled. There's some of the heavy masonry walls inside the building are not adequately supported to the structure, so in a seismic event, they could fall over. And so some of that work is scheduled for 2016, some of the interior work, it'll be piecemeal work, so it won't mean that the entire building has to be emptied out. It'll be, you know, a wall here and a wall there and on through, so it's small portions of the work. So this is sort of the progress of the project for the next 2 years. This is a slide from the historical library, actually from the Juno Douglas City Museum, that was given to the city by the contractor of the original building in 1929. And I show this because it shows the structure of the building, which is all concrete. There's concrete columns, concrete floors, and concrete beams. All you see is the brick, but the actual structure of the building, the skeleton of the building, is all concrete. And this was just some of the operation from this year. They set a mobile crane on the parking garage, and then were able to service this whole part of the building and this part of the building with this mobile crane that was pretty cool. The guy running it was just using a little joystick, and he could walk around and operate that crane from anywhere on site. And this was the west side of the building. The whole side of the building was scaffolded and protected with this black transparent cloth so that air could get in and out. And all the demolition that was taken off the building was taken down this chute and then carried away in trucks to the dump. So all the brick and stone was taken out in that way. And this shows some of the demolition on the roof. The roof is one area where we ended up with some unexpected conditions. The parapet on the roof ended up being a lot more concrete than what we expected. We expected it to be, well, we didn't know what to expect, I should say. It was a portion of the cornice was removed in the 60s. We really didn't know what was left. It turned out it was all concrete, a lot more concrete than we thought, so it was a little more work. But you can see they're taking it off with jackhammers, and then here's the crane, so it was all hauled away. The big pieces were all hauled away. That's a big piece of concrete that they're taking away with the crane. And then this is the interior renovation, or the demolition. The cast iron radiators were all removed, and all of these walls were removed. All the windows were removed. So we took the building down to that concrete frame that was shown on that earlier photograph, taking off all the brick and all the interior plaster and walls and all the windows and all the heating system. So, and this shows the demolition happening on the fourth floor. You can see this, that's the sort of the blackened area is concrete. The black on the concrete is a moisture proofing that was installed in the 1920s. So it was taken off. The plywood area is an old window that was removed, so it closed up that area. The red is hollow clay tile. It's about a 4-inch thick masonry material. It was used as the interior finish of the walls for the plaster. So there's the walls are about a foot and a half thick with between brick and hollow clay tile and plaster. And then this shows a close-up of the demolition. Here's the face brick. So this is what you see. It's the face brick on the building. Underneath that was two layers of red brick, just sort of an industrial brick. The concrete, this is the concrete floor slab. The terracotta, which is this tan stuff that surrounded all the windows on the building. And then there's the red, which is the hollow clay tile. So there was brick, two layers of brick, and then a layer of this hollow clay tile. So it was four layers thick of masonry, all of which is non-bearing. The structural part is the concrete. And then this is one of the window surrounds made out of terracotta. These will be replaced. We were able to salvage some of these, although it was very difficult because they were filled with concrete behind them, so we had to break them out. But we were able to save enough of these. These will be used as forms and to match the color so that when we replace these, we can replicate the original conditions. And then this shows the demolition. This was actually on the third floor. This is actually the Lieutenant Governor's office. But there was, in addition to the demolition, there was the old heating pipes. The original 1929, 1930 heating pipes were still in the building, and they're insulated with asbestos-containing material. So there was an abatement component of the project, and these all had to be, once the walls were opened up, these had to be abated, they had to be closed off, go through regular abatement procedures, and that was a complication. But we knew that was there. And this shows the structural drawing of the 4th Street elevation. You can see the white is all of the existing concrete columns and floors. The dark gray is the concrete shear walls that we're placing between the columns and the floors to strengthen the building. The corners, you can't really see it, here's a lighter gray. The corners, we actually had to have more concrete. We had to have like 12-inch thick concrete because lateral forces are concentrated on the corners of buildings. It's much greater in the corners than it is in the middle. So the corners of the buildings, we actually had to remove some of the beams and actually replace the entire area at these corners. And that, so we haven't done any of this work. This is all work scheduled for 2016. But that process was also on the west side, and it'll go all the way around the building. So the middle of the walls is a thinner concrete. It's about 5 inches thick. At the corners, it's about 12 inches thick, 10 to 12 inches thick. And this shows where, at the corner, where we had to take out the beams. That area had to be shored so that structurally it wouldn't, obviously we take out the beam, there's nothing left holding up the floor. So we had to use this shoring throughout the corners. And this is another type of shoring. You can see here that this is all taken out. And then this shows a photograph of the reinforcing on those shear walls. You can see it's fairly significant. This was at one of the corners, so it's a fairly significant amount of reinforcing that was put in. The plywood is a box out for the windows that are going back in. All the windows and the shape of the building is all the same as it was originally. So the windows are the same size as the original. And then this shows the concrete being applied to the shear walls. It was done with a process called shotcrete, which is a sprayed-on concrete. It's a very thick concrete mix, and they spray it on. As you can see, it's very messy. When they spray it on, they don't have quite as much control out of that, but it's a very good way to do it because it's easy to apply it, and it would be very difficult to pour the concrete in these applications. And then this shows it actually going on. This is the nozzle that goes on, and you can see it being sprayed into these areas that are where the reinforcing is already applied. And then after it's applied, then it's smoothed off. While it's still fresh, it's smoothed off, so it provides a smooth wall for the rest of the project. So this is, you know, the wall that's being connected between the columns and between the floors. The other part of the building that was the infill areas, this is the elevator lobby and the stairway in this area, and then on both sides of that we were able to fill in the spaces. This turned out to be sort of an opportunity in that from a seismic perspective it was much better to connect the west wing to the east wing directly rather than going in and out of those alcoves. So there was a structural advantage of doing that. In doing that, we created new areas on both sides of the stairway and elevator area, about 300 square feet each on the third, fourth, and fifth floor. So it's not a big addition, but you know, it adds about 600 square feet per floor on the third, fourth, and fifth floors. That was already filled in on the ground first and second floors, and this added it to the third, fourth, and fifth floors. This is a drawing. The one on the left is a drawing of the from the original construction documents, showing the a large overhang at the roof of the building, at the cornice. That was removed in early 1960s, probably from what we understand that it was leaking and was in danger of falling off. And this is what the parapet, this is kind of what we thought it was going to look like, as a small concrete area in here. This is actually masonry. And what we found out when we opened it up that this was all concrete. So we had to jackhammer that out. This is the detail of what we're going to be replacing it with. So it's a lighter weight precast concrete. We're using metal roofing across here so that the water can drain off and not get down through all these cracks. But it'll have the same appearance as the original building, so it'll replicate the 1929 design. And this is another one showing these concrete shear walls. This dark gray, you know, I should start off with this. This is the typical drawing from the 1929 drawings showing this all as masonry. You can see this is the terracotta. It's between the fourth and fifth floors. Then it was masonry behind that, and then this layer of hollow clay tile, and then the plaster right on there. What we're doing is replacing all this with the shear wall, the concrete shear wall that's in this location, insulation on the outside, replacing the terracotta with either new terracotta or precast concrete, depending on the condition and the location of it. And then we're insulating the inside. This white in the area is more insulation, so insulation will be considerably improved when we're finished. And this is the portico. The left drawing shows an excerpt from the original 1929 drawings showing all these large stone blocks. Some of these stone blocks weighed 2 and 3 tons. We're still a little amazed at how they got them all in place and got them all in good shape, but this shows the stone. It was almost all stone, and the concern here was that the stone was essentially just stacked on top of each other. It wasn't well connected. And so last year's project, we replaced some of the stone with this lighter weight, lighter colored concrete, a new beams between the columns, between those new marble columns, some concrete beams against the building, a concrete deck, and then we drilled a reinforcing bar down through the marble columns and routed those in place down to the foundation. So those columns are all securely attached and attached to the building. The 2016 project will finish these this area with precast concrete or terracotta, replicating the original stone, but it'll be much lighter and much more weatherproof. Now, this is a photograph from one of the offices. I believe this is on the fifth floor. So you can see that the heater, that old big old cast iron radiator, has been replaced with a much smaller heater. This will be hot water. It will be much easier to control. Each room will have its own controls. And then the new windows, which are insulated aluminum windows, we have the same pattern as the original windows so that they replicate the configuration of the original windows. And then this is what the building looks like today. Actually, it was 11-5, so not very long ago. The exterior of the building is, all the structural work has been done, the new windows have been replaced, and there's some temporary flashing around the windows to go through the winter. The black portion is a temporary waterproofing. It's a waterproofing that will go through the winter. It's actually going to be in place on all the concrete around the building, but we actually added another layer of this because this will be exposed during the winter, so it'll act as the weather barrier for this winter. And then once we get next year, the brick masons will start right down at this corner and work their way around the building while the work on the other part of the building is the structural work's going on. So they'll have the whole side to themselves without any influence with other trades. And then this is the area in the back, the north end of the east wing that was added. You can see that this is the west side of that is all just the same as the west wing. And then there's scaffolding that's going to stay on the east portion of that from the fire escape. And we're going to keep the scaffolding in those infill areas, too. That was a cost saving because instead of taking that down, this is two areas where we have to put the same scaffolding back up again. So these areas are going to continue through the winter. The scaffolding on the west side was all removed because when the masons come in, they have a different type of scaffolding, so that wouldn't have been of any advantage to keep that scaffolding in place. This is actually a photograph from the chief inspector's office, Pam Varney's office. And when we're finished, this is a photo. This is a drawing of the 4th Street side. This is the intent is to bring the building back to its 1931 appearance when it was finished, the 29 design, and with brick, terracotta, and precast concrete in place of the stone, since it's much lighter and easier to handle. But the intent is to bring it back to that same 1929 design. So go ahead and turn the lights on again.
Thank you, Doug.
So the project this year was awarded last spring for $5.8 million. It was a CMGC contract, as I mentioned. That the intent of that project was to look at the west side of the building. It was an exploratory year so that we could find out what condition we would expect to find. Included in that contract was a contingency to address things that were unknown as we opened up the building. And things were going well. We used some of that contingency because we did find some conditions with the concrete that we couldn't have anticipated. There were some issues with the parapet, as I mentioned, and a few other things. So we did use some of that contingency. So we learned a lot by that west side work. They were ahead of schedule, so that's why we came back to you earlier this year for approval for the north end of that west wing, and that work is completed. The contractor right now is demobilizing on site. When we get back to Juneau, it'll be pretty much cleaned up. They've moved off the parking garage. All the scaffolding has been secured, and they'll be leaving the site as early. Some people have already left, and they'll be leaving by next year or by next week. So we added $650,000 by amendment. So the $5.8 million, we added $650,000. What we're asking for today is $27,150,000, which brings us up to the $33,600,000 that we mentioned last March when we originally looked at the whole building. What we've done there is applied the knowledge that we gained from the west elevation, this year's work, to the rest of the building, assuming with an assumption that that will be the same conditions that we encounter for the rest of the building. And this is the resulting contract that we're asking for approval. So this will go on for two more years, 2015 and 2016. So by about this time, 2 years from now, it should be completed and have a grand opening, first day of session in 2017. So I'm open for any questions.
Great presentation, Wayne. Floor is open for questions. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank the three of you, Jeff, Wayne, and Pam, for taking the time to chat last week. That was very helpful. And do the other people have this sheet? Okay. My questions are going to relate to this sheet, which I had asked to have prepared. I think it gives us a little more information than we had on the original letter, which was fairly conclusory at the bottom. And I just, my questions relate to this. Wayne, do you have a copy?
I do.
Okay. Mr. Jensen, first, what do you mean by contractor's fee, incentive, and warranty for 1.9?
Okay. Representative Grunberg, through the chair. The original contract, when we went out for RFP, it was an RFP for the original contract, the CMGC contract. They were giving, as part of their response, they gave us a fee, which is essentially their profit, some overhead, but as how they would propose to approach the project. So that's included. We also have an incentive that was part of that original RFP, that if they did things on schedule, came in under budget or on budget, that they would be eligible for an incentive. That incentive is up to the state as to whether that's awarded. And then the warranty, they have some money in there for warranty services so that if they have to return and fix things, there's some sort of like an, almost like an insurance policy, so that there's they have a warranty period that they have to protect the building or respond to issues in the building, and there's some budget for that.
Mr. Chair, if I may follow up.
Please continue.
Okay. With respect to the incentive, you've given us a general outline of that. How much is it, and what triggers it, and who decides, and whether Ledge Council will weigh in on that before it's awarded?
Is that a question for Jensen, or is that a question for our PAMP LEA folks?
Well, I was asking Mr. Jensen first, but I'll take it from anybody.
I can answer that.
Okay, want to make sure we get, if we go off into questions that we shouldn't be asking you and we should be asking others, just let me know.
Mr. Chair, my questions are generic. I don't care who answers.
Representative Grunberg, through the chair. The incentive was included in the original RFP at an amount of $250,000, which was for the entire contract. When we went out for the, when we awarded the initial contract for the 2014 session, we included $50,000 of that $250,000. I would have to check the general conditions of the contract as to what the process is for awarding that. I don't have that fresh in my memory, but there is a procedure to evaluate their progress for the year, and we can then award whatever amount of that or none of it that we feel is appropriate. And since there was one, there was an incentive that was specifically addressed to the 2014 contract, that amount would be available for the 2014 project. The rest of the project, the next 2 years, restores the rest of that incentive, so it would be the other $200,000 for the next 2 years.
If I may, please.
Please continue.
Is the contract or the practice of the agency to seek Ledge Council's involvement in that or to report to Ledge Council? I'm specifically talking about the discretionary incentive, because that seems to be a little more discretionary than the other things you've mentioned.
Representative Grunberg, I would have to go back to the contract conditions to see how it's applied. I I'm speculating, but I think it's in the purview of the procurement officer, which would be the chair of Ledge Council. I'm not positive of that as to who forms that that committee to evaluate that. But I really would rather get back to you later. I'm not positive of that.
Maybe I could ask Ms. Varney, who's in a huddle there, if she or somebody else would be able to answer that a little better through the chair.
Thank you. This is Pam Varney. Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, just like on all of our invoices, there is a process, and besides our finance manager reviewing those, it is our project director, Jeff Goodell, it is our architect, Wayne Jensen, it is myself certifying that we have the funds, and it is our council chair who is our procurement officer. And we have weekly design meetings. Senator Egan participates in those, and along with Representative Hawker's office, myself. So it would be those same people deciding that.
Thank you. And I have
decided while I still sit in this seat.
Yes, exactly.
Through the chair. My other question relates to the amendment for additional work for $650. What is that, Mr. Jensen or Ms. Varney, anybody?
Yes, Representative Gruenberg, through the chair. The original contract for the 2014 season was the $5.8 million, which was primarily limited to the west side of the building, the Main Street side, and the structural work on the infills. And since that work was progressing ahead of schedule or on schedule, we came back to you for additional work, and that was the north end of the west wing. So it was between, it would have been the north side of the offices.
Can I show that slide again?
Yeah, I could go back to that. See if I can. So it would be the original construction contract for 2014 was this area. It was this, the west side. And the structural work in that west side, since they were on schedule, we added this orange band, the structural work in this orange band, by amendment. And that was approved by Legislative Council in August?
August 7th.
August, yes. And so that was, you know, an addition to the project, was this work. That's what that $650,000 amendment was for.
If I may. Mm-hmm. As I recall vaguely, through the chair, That was simply moved up. It wasn't additional to the total cost. It was just more in year one than years two and three. So it's not an additional cost. It's just front-loading it, right?
That's exactly right.
Thank you. And I very much appreciate both your doing this and providing this sheet to us and for the presentation and for answering at least my questions.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it looks like you're progressing very well. I appreciate that. Just a couple questions. You know, my experience with renovations, big renovations like this, especially when you're dealing with asbestos, nasty stuff, that it tends to, abatement tends to be more than what you anticipated. Sometimes the landfill won't even take the abatement. I don't know what it's like in Juneau. Here in Anchorage, they're pretty particular on the asbestos. So if you could update us on that a little bit. And then were the elevators included in the renovation as far as increasing the speed a little bit? I know that's been a concern.
Just the house elevator.
Okay, yeah.
And don't worry about all that asbestos, we stored it in your office.
Yeah, okay. And then a third thing, I'll let you answer them all at once. Then, you know, it looked like you had a pretty tight schedule there for next year and the year after. It's always possible if we had a special session for a week or two in there, what would that do to your schedule?
Let's see. I'll answer the first one. Was that with asbestos?
Asbestos, yeah.
We did have some issues with asbestos in that it, the way we intended, or the way the contractor intended to approach it, turned out to be not quite as good as OSHA and others thought it should be, so they're actually doing more protection, and so it is costing more. But we saved some money on other issues, so the cost that we have projected for years 2 and 3 anticipate that extra cost of asbestos. It is difficult to get rid of it. It has to, in Juneau, there's no place that it can be accepted. It has to be shipped out. So it has to be put into a container and shipped south to a hazardous material disposal site. So that was definitely one. The schedule, schedule for 2014 is aggressive. And the way that that's proposed is that they will have additional crews, so there'll be more people on staff. Which that's going to mean is there's going to be more disruption to the Capitol because we'll be working on, you know, the west side, the courtyard, and the east side of the building at the same time. So there'll be some more disruption. But it would get the people in the building got a pretty good idea as to what that was going to mean by last year's, because, you know, jackhammers resonate through the entire building, and it doesn't make any difference whether you're working on the east side of the building. You hear that on the west side. So, and Dennis and Senator Egan can attest to that. But it is aggressive year for next year, but it's a possible year by staffing and approaching it. And I think the sequencing works well because, as I mentioned, the masons will be working on the area that was done this year while the demolition work and the abatement work is proceeding on the other parts of the work. So we got a good head start. So the sequencing works.
Yeah, and I guess, if I may, Mr. Chairman,
please.
This building, or that building, will be done April?
January 1.
January, okay.
And if I might jump in.
Yeah.
Having been down in Juneau, and Senator Egan, I think you'd attest to this. The point is, when this is on, and Pam, those of you, Jeff, somebody, take the floor, and just, I think I'd like to get on record that it would be a very difficult situation for us to conduct legislative activity in that building during the construction phase. As if I get someone either confirm that or tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
Is it a special session, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, especially this next year, because we will be affecting the other side of the chambers, actually both chambers. So, but we could certainly look at Centennial Hall or some other location. We won't be affecting the offices in the front of the building. So, so there's quite a few offices we still will have access to.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's why I asked when the building across the street will be finished, because I think that was designed to accommodate a special session if necessary. So,
that would be a correct statement.
So if we have that situation, it sounds like we have some options. So then I think the last part was just the elevators. Yeah.
Got reminded of that. Okay. Thank you, Senator. The elevators will not be improved in terms of their operation. There is work scheduled on the elevator shaft, because the elevator shaft walls is composed of the heavy masonry walls that aren't well reinforced either. So we're planning on reinforcing those elevator shaft walls. But so the elevator will be down for a period of time while we're working on those shaft walls. Whether we have to shut them both down at the same time, we're not sure yet. But there will be some downtime on the elevators during the construction season to do those shaft walls, because we can't have the elevator running while we're working on the walls.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this may be a great opportunity then to implement our anti-obesity program and encourage people to use the stairs.
Great. You could actually assign people to the fifth floor who might qualify for that.
Exactly. Actually, Pam, just a point. When did the legislature refurbish the elevator controls? Wasn't that within the last couple, 3 years?
Well, 2006, I believe, is what Wayne.
We did it. Yeah, okay. Let's see. I guess the following question was Senator Coghill.
Yes. This is under the unintended consequences question. A lot of work done on the roof. A lot of work coming off there. Was there damage control? Is there now going to be costs on the ceiling, the roof, and the tiles? Was that anticipated, or is there anything that we need to worry about there, or not worry about, but deal with?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, the work, the roof was well protected. They laid down plywood and protected it in the areas where the demolition was going on. So there wasn't any damage to the roof, the existing roof, and there's no intent to replace the roof at this time, so we're just going to patch it. We have to, obviously, where we're replacing the parapets, we have to patch the roof in, you know, to roof over the parapets. And also we had to roof the new infill areas. We elected to put on a temporary roof on those infill areas because there is going to be quite a bit of demolition and work immediately adjacent to those areas. So instead of trying to protect a brand new roof, we said, well, let's just put in a, sort of a disposable roof in that area and get by for this year so that next year when they do the work in that area, they don't have to worry so much about protecting that roof. But as far as water leaking into the building or anything, there wasn't any problem with that. The one nice thing was that the scaffolding that they installed provided an entire enclosure from the roof over to the outside wall. So there really wasn't any new water that was getting onto the roof, and they were able to maintain the roof drains. Those roof drains piping, by the way, is part of the old 1929 plumbing, and so we are replacing the piping for the roof drains, and we're able to do that on the west side, and that process will continue around the building. There's about eight or nine, ten roof drains, and those pipes will be replaced as it goes around the buildings.
Thank you.
And I've got to be kind of cautious. I'm about to lose folks that I need to keep for a quorum. So if we could expedite questions or, you know, or whatever we've got to do here. But Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that Juneau does have space available for a special session as well, and we've done it before. So I just want to commend Pam and Wayne and Jeff and especially the prime contractor, Dawson, and all the subs. I mean, that building was being used all summer. We ran tourists through there, and Dawson and the subs were very accommodating. They're just a great group of guys to work with and gals. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a lot more disruptive than it was.
I respond to that, Senator Egan, through the chair. Next year we'll see even more subcontractors, and we had people from the main contractor was Dawson from whose headquarters in Bellingham, but they also have offices in Ketchikan and Juneau. We had subcontractors from all over. Next year we'll have a new subcontractor, the masonry subcontractors from Wasilla. The terracotta is coming from Boston. It's a large project, and there'll be a lot of people on site, and it's going to be a big workforce tomorrow or next year because it's a significant amount of work, and the following year.
Do we have questions online? No further questions for Mr. Jensen, Ms. Varney, or otherwise on the basically the authorization of the remainder of the funds under our previously procured contract for the seismic retrofit. I guess if I hear and see no more questions, Senator Meyer, a motion would be in order here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that the Legislative Council authorize the Chair to enter into a contract with Dawson Construction, Inc. in the amount of $27,150,000 to complete the Alaska State Capitol seismic retrofit and exterior renovation project.
So the question before the committee is the authority to enter into the contract with Dawson, as we've explained in detail here, which is not a new contract. It is the continuation of the CMGM contract that is already in force in the amount of $27,150,000 to complete the state capital seismic retrofit and exterior renovation project over the next 2 years. So, Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Chenault. Representative Gruenberg.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Pruitt. Representative Stoltz. Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Senator Huggins. Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Dunleavy.
Yes.
Senator Egan.
Yes.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Machicki.
Yes.
Chair Hawker.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
So on a vote of 10 yeas, 0 nay, we have approved the continuation of the project. Wayne, thank you very much. Appreciate it. That brings us to the end of our agenda for today. Julie, I don't know what we'll have between now and the beginning of session, but if anything comes up, we'll be in touch with everybody. So with that, we're going to stand this meeting in adjournment.
Don't call me.